Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in Wednesday edition of the show. It has been a while. I was out, Friday of last week with no voice. That continued Monday and got a little bit better yesterday, but back and I think reasonably strong voice today, and glad to be with you because there is a lot to talk about in college basketball, a lot to talk about with the IU program coming out of the transfer portal. And Indiana's red hot right now in the portal and with recruiting, and there have been some really good additions to the team for next season. So we're going to talk about all that coming up here in just a bit today. As we get back to it, we've got a loaded program today. Let's quickly look at the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, Rick Bozich of WDRB will join us. We'll get into the very latest with not just Indiana, but we're going to talk about all the changes in the college basketball world that we know here in Kentuckiana. Kentucky and Louisville, both with new coaches. Indiana, obviously, Mike Woodson, a lot to prove in year four coming up for him. And just kind of an off-season look at where the college basketball programs are at here locally, and more with Rick when he's with us coming up here in just a few moments. Also, later today, it's Wednesday, so Dustin Dopierak of the Indianapolis Star will stop by. NBA postseason is here. Thank God. It's my favorite time of the NBA season. We'll talk about the play-in games, which started last night. Trayce Jackson-Davis and his rookie season came to a little bit of a surprising close when the Warriors were knocked out in the late game last night. Also, we'll talk about the Pacers, some good news for Tyrese Haliburton that came out a little bit earlier this morning as well. And then later today, Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, will join us as we talk local sports. And we're kind of gearing up for high school baseball. It is almost the mid-season point of high school baseball here in the area. And we've got some big performers locally, which is no surprise for baseball here in Clark and Floyd County. So that's the lineup today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Check them out. They've got great lunch opportunities, sandwiches and salads and soups that are all made fresh daily. And you also will find dinner packages. They have those available to take home. Go to Honey Baked Ham in New Albany today. I think you'll be glad that you did. Also, the Thornton's text line is open. That number is 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. That's the Thornton's text line. Thanks for those of you that have texted me that either have my number or have sent it on the text line, making sure everything's good. Just a sore throat, just a no voice, couldn't speak. So glad to be with you today. 502-414-1450 if you want to sound off or if you've got a question or comment for one of our guests. That's the Thornton's text line. Let's get right to the phone line because Rick Bozich of WDRB, one of our favorite guests to have here on the show, is with us to catch up on what has been a very, very busy basketball time. Rick, in addition to the NCAA tournament, even though there weren't great performances from local teams this year, Kentucky gets bounced early. Indiana and Louisville aren't in the tournament. I guess you'd have to say Purdue, the closest team that obviously had a lot of success in the postseason. It was a very busy time because the transfer portal opened and Louisville coaching search going on came to a conclusion finally. Kentucky, a little surprise. Cal going to Arkansas. Have you caught your breath here as we get into mid-April from all the basketball, the season, and the changes here in Kentuckiana?
You know, Eric, thanks for having me on, Matt, first of all. But Eric Crawford and I looked at each other, I think yesterday. It was like, wow, can we finally exhale for a few minutes, because from the point that Louisville lost to NC State in the ACC tournament, I don't know, 6 weeks ago maybe, until Sunday's press conference when Mark Pope was introduced at Rupp Arena, it's been nonstop at all three schools, plus Western Kentucky lost its basketball coach and hired a new one. So, you know, coaching searches are always very energizing. You're always, like, following Twitter and texting people and calling people. What do you hear? Is this true? Is that true? I just heard this. And we've been going on adrenaline now for a long, long time. And, you know, a lot of picked up a lot of Twitter followers, had a lot of web hits, both Eric and I, for the stuff that we were able to write. And it's been fun, it's been challenging, and it has been exhausting.
Rick Bozich, WDRB. I can't imagine what the last month and a half or so has been like. Let's just kind of go through each scenario. And first, Pat Kelsey to Louisville, Mark Pope to Kentucky, talking about some of IU's rivals here in the area. I think it's safe to say that both schools struck out when it came to some of their home run hires, or maybe the dream hires that fans hope that the respective ADs at Louisville, Kentucky could go out and land. Pat Kelsey, young, up and coming. Mark Pope, a guy that's got some seasoned experience. This is a breakthrough for him to the highest levels of college basketball. What does it say about college basketball as a whole that predominantly good blue blood programs, top 10 jobs, Kentucky obviously a top 5 job or higher depending on who you talk with, what does it say that they weren't able to go out and land a dream hire or a home run hire? What does that say about college basketball to you in this new world of NIL and transfer portal and all the craziness?
Yeah, I mean, it says that coaches have discovered they can win and be successful pretty much anywhere at the Power 5 level. If we would have had this conversation 20 years ago and we would have said a coach at Baylor is not going to be interested in the job at Louisville or Kentucky, people would have laughed at that idea. Of course they would be. And maybe Scott Drew would have been if it was 4 or 5 years into his career. But he's been there 2 decades and raised his family there. Kids are still in high school, won a national championship, been successful, become part of the community. And he wasn't interested, just like I know Jeff Goodman, among others, criticized IU for not going at him after him when they hired Mike Woodson. But maybe Scott Dolson was self-aware enough to know that he's not going to make that move. So it's happened at UCLA where Mick Cronin was the 5th choice. You look at who Duke and Carolina hired. They both promoted just guys from within their program as assistant coaches. If you're at a school that's committed to winning at basketball and puts money in the program, you know, practice facilities, coaching staffs, and NIL, you can be successful. And for some people, coming to Louisville or Kentucky, they might pause because they know that they're more basketball schools and you're going to get more attention, but you're also going to get more scrutiny. And that's not just criticism. It's like, I think I've heard, you know, that, you know, some people like they like to be anonymous at part of the year, and you're not going to ever be anonymous if you're the basketball coach at Kentucky or Louisville. We don't have pro sports teams. Those guys are the faces of both universities, and that's not for everybody.
Rick Bozich, WDRB, talking about the college basketball coaching carousel that we think has closed, at least here at a local level, with Kentucky and Louisville recently finding their new guys. I want to ask you this before we get into some IU and Mike Woodson topics. You have covered this stuff, Rick, forever and ever. You've been to NCAA tournaments and Final Fours for basically the bulk of your career. What are your thoughts, and can you believe how big and the jump that women's college basketball, the television ratings, the fan interest, the key players, just all the things around women's basketball that have changed in the last 2-3 years, and it feels like this past year was amazing because of all the publicity of Caitlin Clark and others. But what's it been like to witness women's basketball in our country, especially here locally, go to a whole new level?
Yeah, it's been great. It's almost like somebody's like squirted lighter fluid on some charcoal, and it's just like all of a sudden burst up big. And as I've told a lot of other people that I've talked to, the biggest stars in college basketball this winter were women, not men. It was Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Juju Watkins, Hannah Hidalgo, Haley Van Lith. Mackenzie Holmes. You can go on and on. In men's basketball, is pretty much Zach Edey and who else? I mean, a lot of people can't tell you right now who the five first-team men's All-American were. Caitlin Clark was on Saturday Night Live. I watched a lot of our games whenever they were on national TV. And we've seen it locally. I mean, Jeff Walls has done it for a long, long time. Louisville's consistently drawn 8, 10, 12,000 for their games at the downtown arena. They had bigger crowds this year. Indiana has gotten on board the last few years. I think I read that IU men's and women's basketball combined had the highest attendance of any program in the country as a combined entity. And would they sell out Assembly Hall at least twice, maybe three times? I was up there for an NCAA tournament game. It felt like an atmosphere at an old IU men's basketball game. And Kentucky made a coaching change and brought in Virginia Tech, and they've already got three or four really high-name recruits in there because they want a part of this too. So it's great, and it's entertaining basketball. The one thing I like about the women's game at this point more than the men's is the players seem to be more committed to the programs, and they stay around for 2 or 3 years. And four, even like Clark did, and that helps the game because fans invest in the program and the players and the personalities, and they like to see the improvement they make from year to year. So I think the men's game needs to, in some ways, take a look at that and say, hey, you know, their viewing audience for the championship game was bigger than ours this year. Yeah, that was Caitlin Clark. But are there other factors at work here that we need to address?
Yeah, very interesting. Rick Bozich, WDRB Sports, with us as we start off our Wednesday program. Let's get to Indiana. Let's get to Coach Woodson before we talk about some of the good things with IU basketball right now, landing some really big-time gets out of the transfer portal over the last 3 or 4 days. This is kind of a make-or-break year for Mike Woodson as he heads into season number 4. As the boss of the Indiana Hoosiers. How do you size up Mike Woodson here in this offseason, maybe what he needs to do in this upcoming year to continue on as Indiana's coach? Because when things came to a close at the Big Ten tournament with a blowout loss to Nebraska, a lot of people, boosters, fans, and otherwise, weren't happy. And there was rumors that Indiana as well could come open until Indiana put out a statement that basically put that on hold or stopped those rumors. Where is Woodson at with things heading into this very important year, it seems, for him?
Yeah, he's got a long to-do list of things he needs to do to get fans back on his side, because I think in all the discussion, excitement of who they've gotten out of the portal in the last 4 or 5 days, what's forgotten is what you mentioned, not only the blowout loss at the end of the season, but some of the comments that were made on senior day, not only by Mike Woodson but by Anthony Leal, that I think didn't sit very well with a lot of IU fans about what it takes to be a good fan and people shouldn't be critical of the way they played last year. Well, I mean, I think people should be critical of the way they played last year because it was a step backwards. And it wasn't very entertaining basketball. It wasn't very well-played basketball. So Mike Woodson's done a good job of getting two guys out of the portal. He needs to get three or four more, and he needs to show that he's got the right pieces and then he can fit them together in a way that they play winning basketball. Because, you know, even though he made the tournament the first 2 years, I mean, every year they were in the tournament, they – got blown out by St. Mary's his first year. I was at the game in Albany, New York, where Miami handled them the second year. He hasn't ended any of his seasons in a way that makes you say, yeah, he's kind of got it figured it out. So I think he needs to, I don't know if humble's the right word, but he needs to soften a little bit in his approach to some of the criticism that he's gotten, not only from the media, but from the fans. And he needs to show that he can put together a team that can go out and compete at the highest level. Because, you know, UConn they play close against Kansas. It was UConn and Auburn that both blew them out last year, and Purdue blew them out twice. So reasonable people would say that's not what Indiana expects from its basketball team.
Rick Bozich, WDRB. Let's talk about some of the additions here lately. Miles Rice, Pac-10, Pac-12 Freshman of the Year from out west. And then more recently, 7'1" Balo from Arizona. Two big additions. I think Balo was considered by one of the services as the number one available player in the transfer portal. So Indiana, thanks to what seems to be a real influx of NIL money, is going after and has already landed some of the very best from the portal. So I guess if you're judging Mike Woodson just in the offseason alone, he appears to be landing some of those pieces, those big pieces you're talking about that are going to be needed for next season.
Yeah, he's off to a good start. He still has, what, 5 more roster spots that are open. I'm not saying he has to fill them all, but he needs to fill a few because he still needs a legit shooter. He needs a Nick Zeisloff. He needs a James Blackman. He needs a Jordan Hulls. He needs somebody who can make three. Yogi Ferrell, somebody who can make 3-point shots. That's an issue for Indiana. It has been an issue ever since Archie Miller followed Tom Crean as the coach. I think Miles Rice, in my opinion, is a more important recruit than Balo, because Miles Rice is a point guard who's older. And has got a year of experience at Washington State. He can break you down off the dribble. He can finish around the rim. He can pass the ball. His three-point shot wasn't great last year, but he was a good free-throw shooter, which tells me he can be a better three-point shooter. And, you know, I think he'll be a big difference maker for Indiana next season. Balo is a very good player, tremendous rebounder, great dunker. He doesn't really have, you know, the offensive game that Ware or Trace Jackson Davis had. He's a bit different player because he's a bigger, bulkier guy. But he's a big pickup too. But Rice, to me, is the best guy they've gotten at this point.
Rick, I'm hearing just amazing numbers on NIL. And it's not just in Indiana. Yeah. It's across the country. And I don't know, you would know this better as a journalism reporter. I don't know that there's a way to verify some of these numbers. It's not necessarily public like a college institution or a government agency might be, but some of the numbers even associated with the recent Indiana pickups or rumored around the recent Indiana pickups are just unbelievable amounts of money that we're just not used to. Where is NIL at? The transfer portal, it seems to be out of control. Money is flying around. Players are, you know, being told to go elsewhere and then come back, and we'll beat or match any offer you can get. Where does this go, and how does this ever come back down to reality? Is it the NCAA that has to put more guidelines in place? Is it the federal government and Congress that need to get involved? Where does this go from here? It seems like total madness right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's gone. I describe it as we've gone to like 0 to 150 miles per hour in like 3 minutes. It used to be the players, you know, technically weren't supposed to get anything. We all know that, you know, at a lot of programs they did, but now it's everywhere. And guys are leaving, transferring multiple times because they know if you go in the portal, that's the way you can establish your value and drive up your NIL opportunities. And, you know, not mean to plug myself, but I have a column right now at WDRB.com about I have a love-hate relationship with the portal. I love it because it's interesting to follow and it's changed the game, but I hate it because it's, you know, there's no stability in college basketball. It's hard to keep track of who's on a team and who's not on a team. I know what you are referring to. Did somebody say that Jeff Goodman maybe, did he tweet that the word is Balo is getting $1.2 million or something? The coaches I talk to say that a lot of these numbers are slightly inflated. So I think they're close, but most of the coaches I talk to saying that what you're hearing is slightly inflated. But I do know this from hearing things during the offseason after the season ended, that a couple of people that I know that are fairly well plugged into IU basketball said that NIL wouldn't be an issue for IU this year in terms of any player. It was recruiting, that the guys that they wanted, if they didn't get them, it wouldn't be because of insufficient NIL offers. So you can draw your own conclusions. And yesterday, just, you know, thinking about it, I mean, Balo came to Indiana first and then he was supposed to come to Louisville, and then he was supposed to go to Arkansas. And so for them to get a commitment for him before he even went anywhere else, they must have found a way to keep him satisfied, right?
Yeah, amazing where the world of college basketball and college sports is at. Just unbelievable. Rick Bozich, WDRB, with us, kind of taking a run on Kentuckiana college hoops, talking about coaching changes and Indiana basketball, the transfer portal. Rick, before we let you go, early thoughts on Pat Kelsey at Louisville, early thoughts on the Mark Pope time at Kentucky, the starts that these guys are off to, and can they help Louisville and Kentucky either find or keep their place in the upper echelon of college basketball?
Yeah, I think they both have considerable credentials. Kelsey has a different job than Mark Pope, and I think it's a more challenging job because he not only has to rebuild the program, every Louisville player went in the portal, so he's got to have a whole new team, basically. But he has to rebuild the fan base. I mean, I'm not sure how many games you went to last year, but I'm sure you watched a lot of them on TV where, you know, Louisville was generally having 5,000 or 6,000 people in a 20,000-seat building, so you got to get fans back on board. And I think he's certainly aware of that, and he certainly will work towards doing that after he gets his team together. I like the fact that he's bringing his entire coaching staff from Charleston. That gives him you know, continuity with how he likes to do things. He's brought two of his players from Charleston to help establish his culture. As for Pope, Kentucky fans obviously set a record for a press conference by filling up arena when he came there Sunday. He preached what they wanted to hear, which is, the focus is going to be on winning championships, not on the NBA draft. They're going to schedule a little bit differently and have more interesting games, including probably one with Rick Pitino at Rupp Arena instead of playing all these big-time events away from Lexington. And they're going to count the SEC tournament and things like that as being important again instead of downplaying it. And I think they'll have more guys who are there for more than 1 year. That was great the first 8 or 10 years for Calipari, but I think people really got tired of it the last few years, and they want to see more guys who come and stay for at least, you know, a couple of seasons. And they look around at teams like Purdue and UConn and see that they have guys like that and they're winning, and Kentucky should be able to do that too.
Absolutely. Rick Bozich, WDRB Sports. Rick, as always, thanks for coming on. Thanks for the great coverage all college basketball season long, and we'll catch up with you again down the line just a bit.
All right. Thanks for having me, Matt. Be well.
All right. Rick Bozich, WDRB, kind enough to join us as we restart the show after a few days away. Glad to be back with you, and plenty to get to. Lots of movement for Indiana in the transfer portal, recruiting getting ready to pick up with spring live periods opening up very soon. And again, the transfer portal never dies. NIL constantly going, and going to be a fun offseason here in the area, not just to track Indiana because of all the big names they're bringing in. And I think they're just getting started. I think that the Carlisle kid from Stanford, there's a lot of crystal ball picks that Indiana will go on to land him. Indiana did lose Connor Hickman to Cincinnati basically a day after his visit to Indiana. The longtime Bloomington native who's been at Bradley did pick Cincinnati. So that was really the first big swing and miss by Indiana in the portal this year. But a lot of other big names that IU is involved with, potential players out there that might make sense to come to Indiana. So I think we're in for a wild few weeks as far as figuring out the bulk of what Indiana's roster looks like for next season. But we've got that going on. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention spring football. We're going to talk more about that on our Thursday show tomorrow. But spring football, the spring game, for the first time in years, Indiana with a spring game and just a spring event that is open to the public and the fans, which makes a lot of sense under first-year coach Cignetti. That's coming up on Thursday as well. So busy time as we get into the spring, and I think it's going to be really interesting to watch and see what happens with some of these IU openings the rest of the way. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Dustin Dopierak in our next segment. Also still ahead is Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. So plenty coming your way today from an IU and a local perspective. We'll get into some NBA stuff as well with Dustin in the next segment. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Wednesday show. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Send in questions, comments, whatever you got. We'll do our best to work them into the show today. Dustin Dopierak of the Indianapolis Star. He's the beat writer for the Indiana Pacers. He's with us Wednesdays as we talk Pacers and IU and basketball, really everything with Dustin here each week on the show. Dustin, as we get started, NBA play-in games last night and tonight. I love the postseason in the NBA. Probably watch more from the postseason than I do all of the rest of the season combined. But I'm still a little confused on the play-in games. I do know that Trayce Jackson-Davis and his Golden State Warriors were eliminated from contention by the Kings last night. But help me and the casual NBA fan through this NBA play-in opportunity, how this play-in tournament works.
Yeah, it's a little odd, but you still get a little bit of an advantage for being, you know, a top 8 seed, because obviously throughout history until they started the play-in in 2021, or I guess in 2020 with the just everything that was sort of weird about the bubble, you know, it used to be obviously if you were top 8, you got in the playoffs, and that's all there was. There wasn't a play-in tournament or anything like that. So you still get an advantage by being in the play-in, and what that means is you play, instead of it being like a 7-10, 8-9 sort of, you know, general bracket, you know, the 7 and 8 teams play and the winner of that is in, basically. And then you move in to, you take the 7th seed in the tournament, but the teams with the 7th and 8th best records play. And then that gets you in. The 9 and 10 game, you play for the opportunity to play the loser of the 7-8 game. So basically, like if you're 7 and 8, you've got 2 chances to win 1 game to get in. If you're 9-10, which would have meant in the old days, you would have been out. Anyway, you have to win 2 games to get in. So basically what that means is since Sacramento beat Golden State last night, they're not in. They have to beat New Orleans, who lost to the Lakers last night. So it's a little bit convoluted, but it makes sense to make sure that there is some level of advantage to being, you know, either the 7 or 8, because that's, you know, you would have got in the old day. So rather than making it kind of a, you know, general bracket where the 10 and the 7 have an equal chance, you know, the 7 and the 8 have a little bit of an advantage. Obviously, the 7 gets to host the 8. The 9 gets to host the 10, and then basically if it's 8 versus 9, the 8 gets to host. So that's how it works. So it's a little bit convoluted, but it makes sense when you're looking to make sure there's some advantage for the top 8 seeds.
Yeah, makes sense. Tonight we've got Philadelphia 76ers and the Miami Heat. That's the 7-8 game, so the winner would go on to be the 7 seed in the Eastern NBA playoffs. And then also tonight, the Bulls with Billy Donovan, who's a name that has come up a lot. The 9-seeded Bulls will take on the Hawks in the, I guess, the second game, I think, tonight of the NBA play-in tournament. You know, Dustin, we talk a lot about the transfer portal and NIL and all the changes to college basketball, but the NBA has had their fair share of changes. I know there have been a handful of rule changes or adjustments. Also, the in-season tournament, which obviously was maybe the first signal that this Pacers team you cover was a playoff-level team with that deep run they made to the championship of the in-season tournament. I love that idea. I watched a lot of that in-season tournament. And then the play-in tournament is still in its infancy the last few seasons. So the NBA is moving to new ideas and trying things out, very similar to college sports right now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, Adam Silver has really, you know, gone out on a limb on a few things to try to see if it could just stir up some interest. And I think, as you mentioned, you know, I think a lot of people generally, you know, tend to stick to postseason when it comes to their, you know, sort of NBA fandom. I know that I was that way a lot, you know, mostly because I was covering college basketball. And so you've got to be so kind of tuned in to what everybody else is doing that, you know, the it's more important for you from a work perspective to watch, you know, college games in the NBA. And then I would really refocus and, you know, watch NBA playoffs for fun, basically, once the college season was over. But I think, you know, one thing that I know that a few guys mentioned is that, you know, it just feels like a lot of people don't think the NBA season starts until Christmas, basically, they're still so football dominated between, you know, the college game and championships and all that kind of stuff. So even college basketball, NBA both, you know, take a while for everybody to kind of really buy in. And so a lot of NBA players are like, hey, like, this gets us something that gets us, you know, more of a, just more of a spotlight, you know, prior to Christmas. And so that was something that they felt like was a big buy-in idea. You know, obviously the play-in tournament just brings that kind of single elimination feel, you know, kind of with the wild card game in baseball as well. And I think they also looked at it and said, hey, you know, like, you had, I think the first year there was a LeBron Curry, you know, winner you're in, you know, like, winner you're out 9 and 10 play-in. And it was just like, okay, well, people are going to watch that. And so you're seeing those two teams and stages where they are, you know, obviously the Warriors are out, the Lakers are in, but, like, you know, you're looking at two of the greats of all time are playing in that situation. Well, this allows you to milk that a little bit more, to be honest. So, I mean, I think they're just jumping at the opportunity for a little bit, you know, to get a kind of, you know, big stage game that's single elimination, or whatever it is, whatever you want to call what the play-in is. You know, and I think it's just looking for different ways to change things up, mix things up, and see if that can create some buzz and get people watching NBA at times when they normally don't.
Talking with Dustin Dopierak of the Indianapolis Star, little NBA and the Pacers to begin our segment. The Pacers are in as a sixth seed in the Eastern Conference, and they are going to take on the Milwaukee Bucks. I believe that series gets going with Game 1 coming up on Sunday of this week. So excited to follow the Pacers here in April and see if they could get some postseason magic going against the Bucks, who are the number 3 seed. What's an early prediction? What's an early sketch of this series, the challenges for the Pacers going against the higher seeded Bucks, and, you know, the chance that you would maybe give the Pacers to have some success in this one?
Yeah, I mean, they've got a good chance, especially because Giannis is dealing with a calf strain, and he's going to miss at least the first two games of that. So, I mean, they have a chance to really make some noise before he gets out of the first two games. I presume the first two games. But, you know, they haven't ruled him out yet, but there was obviously reporting by Adrian Wojnarowski to that effect, suggesting that he won't be available for the first couple games. And so, you know, that's obviously an opportunity. I'm going to be going into Milwaukee. It's a place they've won, and they won 4 out of 5 this year. And so, you know, that gives them certainly more of a puncher chance when you talk about, you know, missing one of the best players, frankly, of all time, the 2-time MVP, and a guy for whom there's just not a real analog. You know, there's just not a lot of guys that, like, you know, built like Giannis that have ever played this game. So, I mean, you take him out of the equation, and it gives you an opportunity. Obviously, it gives you an opportunity just the simple fact that they've won 4 out of 5. You know, obviously, the regular season and playoffs are very different. They know that. They're a different team than the one that beat Milwaukee 4 out of 5 times. They didn't have Siakam yet. They did have Bruce Brown and Buddy Hield. They were playing a little bit faster, you know, with a little bit more speed and a little bit more wide open. They are also defending not quite as well as they are now. I mean, the Bucks are different. They've obviously had a coaching change in there as well, going from Adrian Griffin to Doc Rivers. So everybody knows that this is a different team, a different scenario, because, again, they haven't played since January 3rd. But, you know, they still go in with some confidence. I mean, there's definitely reason for real belief that they can win this series. I know Stephen Smith even, you know, said that whether Giannis plays or whether he doesn't, he expects the Pacers to win. I mean, they've got a real crack at it. Milwaukee has not been what everybody expected them to be. Yeah, I think they're 24-8, I think they're 25-25 since. So they've been playing 500 basketball since January. And, you know, that at the end of the day means they're beatable. You can take down a team like that. And I think the Pacers are aware of that, but they also know that there's no guarantee that just because you beat them in the regular season, you can beat them in the playoffs.
Dustin Dopierak, Indianapolis Star, with us here on this Wednesday show. Staying with the NBA, I want to talk about Trayce Jackson-Davis and the rookie season that he had. Now, with Golden State getting bounced last night from the play-in tournament, they're done. His season is over with. But I think Trayce Jackson-Davis had a really unbelievable rookie season. I think he far exceeded most everyone's expectations on playing time, contributions. And, Dustin, you follow this stuff on a day-in, day-out basis, so correct me if I'm wrong, but he seems like a rookie that has made his mark that is going to have an opportunity to be an NBA player for a number of years. He seems to maybe fit that mold of a role guy that could have a really long, extensive NBA career.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The Warriors love him, and he definitely got into a scenario where, I guess the best way to put it is this. We spent a lot of time talking about what he couldn't do, and what he couldn't do is what makes it, you don't necessarily fit everywhere if you can't shoot as a five-man and stuff like that, but everybody needs somebody like Trace. Everybody needs somebody that can screen, roll, finish lobs, and block shots. I mean, the thing is there are a lot of those guys available, and so if you've got one, you don't necessarily need one, and that's kind of where the Pacers were at with him, is it didn't make sense for them to pick him up, but the Warriors needed that, and he's very effective at doing what he does, and he was very, he really did a good job of fitting into that role, and it just worked out at a good time for them in the sense that, Draymond Green obviously had the suspension, so they needed him to play ahead of Draymond on a few occasions. And on top of that, you had, Kevon Looney just has not been quite as effective as he was, and he's sort of, aging towards being, not as effective. And so Jackson Davis was able to beat out Looney and play in Draymond's stead. When he was suspended and missing stuff. So that gave him a lot of opportunity. Like, wow, this guy can really do this. And again, you saw a lot of the things that he was good at Indiana, and it showed up. And he didn't have to. I mean, I think if you look at his basketball reference page, I think he took exactly one shot or maybe two shots outside outside of 10 feet, basically. And so, but he was still really effective there because, again, he just did a really good job of rolling the basket, finishing lobs, rebounding, blocking shots, just did, what you expect Trayce Jackson-Davis to do and pass well, which matters in Golden State system in terms of how they move the basketball, and that's what makes them really, really good. So, no, I mean, obviously I was there in San Francisco basically when the Pacers played them in late March and got to talk to Trayce and got to talk to Will Feehey, who was a player development analyst for them, and, basically, and Steve Kerr also talked about Trayce, and they love him across the board. I mean, they're really happy with what he's doing. He's really confident. And so, he's got a real chance to continue to fill that role. The Warriors are going to have to do. They're probably going to have to retool a lot after going out as the 10th seed. You imagine Curry will still be around. They'll probably make some changes. Otherwise, don't know if Klay Thompson will still be there. Don't know if Draymond Green will still be there. And he's going to be, part of the core. Is he necessarily going to be the guy? No, but he's going to be a guy that they can trust to play that five-man role. I think they'd like to see him expand his game a little bit. But he can stick around just doing the things that he does and does it well. I mean, again, he made all of these are close, in short range, but it still matters that you're able to do this. He shot about 70% from the field this year, which is a pretty terrific, pretty terrific rookie season.
Dustin Dopierak, Indianapolis Star. He's with us Wednesdays. Dustin, thanks for your coverage. Enjoy the playoffs and that Bucks and Pacers series, and we'll talk with you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. We'll head to a quick commercial break. We're back with Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. We'll talk local sports, high school baseball, and more coming up. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
A basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. My guest, and we got to get some local sports in here. It's been since last week that we were with you. So, Josh, great to have you. High school baseball season is rolling, and we've got a big game tonight. We will not be on the broadcast for this one, but our high school baseball coverage should be starting here very soon. It's New Albany and Jeffersonville tonight. It's a big one in the Hoosier Hills Conference. These teams could meet in the sectional, potentially, maybe the Hoosier Hills Conference tournament as well. And it's always been one of the early games or the mid-season time games that's very meaningful in our local high school baseball schedule.
Heck yeah, it should be a good game. Both teams are playing, playing pretty well. Coach Redford has New Albany playing good. They're off to a good start, and they beat Charlestown in eight innings the other day in a 1-0 game. So that was pretty exciting. But Jeff's been a little up and down, but, you know, they won the sectional last year, and, you know, they got some great pitching. So I expect it to be a good game tonight, you know, and maybe, you know, give these teams, whoever comes out with a victory, you know, it gives them some momentum going forward in the rest of the season. So it should be exciting. Hopefully it's a good close game, and, you know, there's no rain involved, which has been the big thing the last couple of weeks around here.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking with Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Josh, high school baseball, the standout to me, and I know the last time you were with us, this came up as well, but the standout team of the season to date, I think you would have to give that award if it existed to Coach Casey LeDuc and the Highlanders of Floyd Central. They have ran off a really good record. They've defeated some good teams, and they are the team to watch here, I think, locally when it comes to the Hoosier Hills Conference. And when it comes to the 4A sectional, I think that they would be the front runner that most everybody would put forth at this time.
Yeah, off to a great start. They won again last night, so they're 9-0, and then they play Trinity tonight, which is a big test for them. But and they're up to number 3 in the state in the coaches' poll, so you know they're off to a great start. You know, I think pitching is a big key with this team, and you know. Casey and Chris Hogan, they do a great job with their pitchers, and you know they're really throwing well. They've they had Blaine Metz through a no hitter I think it was last week. And their other pitchers are just doing great too. So that's really been a big key, and they're hitting the ball well. So you know they won last night. It was 11-1 in 6 innings. So. You know, they're hitting, they're scoring, they're doing all the right things so far, and, you know, just a great, great start. So, you know, we'll see if they can, keep this going. You know, obviously they're not going to go undefeated. That would be insane for a high school baseball team. But, I expect them to keep up winning like they are, and we'll see, you know, what they can do in the Hoosier Hills Conference and sectional and, you know, maybe beyond that. But I like their chances so far.
Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Josh, since we spoke, the Indiana All-Star boys team has been announced. The girls team has been out for a few weeks. Mr. Basketball, that award will be forthcoming. I think most people think Flory Badunga of Kokomo, who's headed to Kansas, or maybe Jack Benner of Brownstown out of the Mid-Southern Conference, who will play at Purdue. I think it's basically down to those two when it comes to Mr. Basketball. But my question or my comment is this. I saw the announcement. Got the dates of the games for this year. Indiana does it right at Gainbridge Fieldhouse in Indianapolis, home of the Pacers, home of the state finals. It's just an unbelievable arena for anything, especially something at the amateur or high school level. But the Kentucky side of the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star game is going to be played at Lexington Catholic High School. Now, I've been at LexCath. Know the coach there. Great, great school in Kentucky. Wonderful gymnasium. They do a great job hosting events there. But it's a high school gym. It's not a college gym, a college arena. It had been at the Owensboro Sports Center, which is maybe comparable to Broadbent Arena, which I think is wonderful for the Indiana-Kentucky game and where the crowds are at these days, in this age. But, Josh, to have the Kentucky side of the game at a high school. And again, I got a lot of friends that are involved with the game on the Kentucky side, a lot of friends that coach high school basketball in Kentucky. But to have the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star game at a high school gym Kentucky side is hard for me to swallow when it comes to where this series is at and where it's headed.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the way it is. I mean, it seems like every year it's when they release the the schedule of the games, it's like the Kentucky side is to be determined. They don't ever have a set side every year. So yeah, it's all over the place, and it's really a shame. You know, back in the day, obviously, it usually was at Freedom Hall, and it may have been a Rupp Arena too. I can't remember, but when I was a kid, I just remember being at Freedom Hall, and it had some good crowds. And unfortunately, that's just the state of that game nowadays. But the girls' games are usually competitive, but the boys' games aren't really too competitive anymore. If
you know, it's Flory Badunga plays this year, and Jack Benner, I assume Jack Benner will play. I don't know about Flory, you know, with the college kids and how they, you know, go to school early sometimes. But, you know, I just expect another big sweep for the Indiana boys. You know, some years Kentucky might sneak in there and win one. But, yeah, unfortunately, that's just the state of this game and this series. You know, it's sad, but, you know, I don't know how much longer it can go on or it will go on. But, you know, as long as they're keeping it alive, that's great. But, yeah, it's definitely a sad state of affairs. You're playing a big all-star game like this when they used to pack it in and you know, Market Square back in the day and Freedom Hall back in the day, but now it's at a high school gym. So it's kind of sad to see, but, you know, that's just the way things are these days, unfortunately.
No question about it. And I do understand, I think Indiana had the game at Southport last year. That was because of construction ongoing at Gainbridge. I know they looked into some other facilities and dates just didn't work. So I do want to put out, maybe there's something in Kentucky we don't know about. This is a one-year plan. But it's happened before, and it's just not a good look for the series and the importance historically that is carried. And if you still want players and their families to make it a priority, you got to put it on a big stage. And kudos to Indiana. Kudos to Mike Broughton, former Jeffersonville coach, who's the director of the Indiana All-Stars, for keeping that game when possible, when the schedule, when construction allows, at Gainbridge Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. Josh, always great to catch up. We've got other things going as well. Softball, lots of spring sports. And as we close out today, Josh, this spring season, it's so short and it goes so quick. There is so many things going on this time of year, and the end of school, just out of spring break now, thinking about the end of school. It all comes at you so fast. This spring season is a good one for athletics here locally, but it just gets away from you very quickly.
It does, Matt. I was just looking at it last night, actually, and the softball section will start almost a month from today. So it's pretty crazy, you know, how fast all these seasons go. And then, you know, they fly by in the spring. And as you mentioned, too, you know, everybody's getting ready for the end of school and graduations and all that kind of stuff. And then you've got the weather that can always play a factor too, but, you know, it's still a fun time, and we've got some great, teams and athletes out here in the spring in Floyd County. So everybody should get out and catch them.
Absolutely. Josh Cook. Thank you, Josh. That's going to wrap things up for our Wednesday show. Back with you Thursday. We'll talk IU football. We've got Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall as well. And a lot more. Stay with us Thursday and Friday, back normal on a regular schedule here. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.